So, we've been reading a chapter each month from An Open-Hearted Life, co-authored by Dr. Russell Coates from Eastern Washington University. He's a clinical psychologist and a professor in the psych department there, and me. So we're on chapter 28 now, called Rules of the Universe. Last month, we talked about the disadvantages of the self-centered mind. Okay, and in the future, we'll talk about the benefits of cherishing others. But this chapter on the rules of the universe is another way to get us to look at our self-centered mind. Okay, so I'll read a little bit and comment. And I think this chapter is very timely for what's happening in the world right now with the virus and how it's affected all of our lives. Okay, for those of you who have the book, we're on page 129. Self-centeredness is one of the biggest forces that interferes with the cultivation of compassion. Yeah, quite obviously, because compassion is focused on others. When we're self-centered, the focus is on us. So, you know, you're going in opposite directions. As its name indicates, self-centeredness is self-focused, while compassion focuses on others. Oh, the book took the words right out of my mouth. I wonder who wrote this. They can't both exist in our minds at the same time. Sometimes we take ourselves too seriously and beat ourselves up for being selfish. This is just another aspect of self-centeredness. So some humor is necessary when stopping self-centered thoughts. So I, here referring to myself, find that one of the best ways to find humor in a situation where my self-preoccupation is flaring is to look at what I call the rules of the universe. Okay, so in case you've ever noticed or never noticed, we all have certain rules of the universe. We usually haven't even verbalized them to ourselves, let alone to the people around us, let alone to the universe, but we operate based on these rules. And then when the universe and the people around us don't follow our rules, we get really ticked off. Okay. So each of us has our own subjective rules of the universe, which consist of the ways that we think other people should act and how we want the world to be. Do you have a few of those? We didn't consciously sit down and write out these rules, and we may not even be aware of them. They are self-centered assumptions that we base our life on. Unfortunately, we live as if these rules were true, but when we expose the ridiculous logic, in quotes, of the self-centered thoughts that made these rules, then we're able to laugh at ourselves because some of our rules are really pretty ridiculous. Yeah. And we have to be able to laugh at what is ridiculous in life. Yeah. This in turn helps us to relax and not to follow the autocratic rule of the self-centered mind. So here are some of my key rules of the universe. Maybe you share some of them. You may have some others to add to the list. Okay, so these initial rules of the universe were written in a non-coronavirus time. Okay, just ordinary things. So we can add some special, extraordinary times, the rules of the universe that focus on our present time. But let's go through at least some of these ordinary ones to kind of warm us up. Okay, so the first one follows very well upon Venerable Sangye Kadro's meditation. So first rule of the universe, okay, everyone must like me. Absolutely no one is allowed not to like me. Why? Because I'm a wonderful person. So of course everybody should like me. And anyway, it hurts my feelings if they don't. Okay, so if you know me, that's number one. You've got to like me and you've got to think I'm fantastic. Okay, and you also have to tell me that too. Yeah, I mean, you can't just think I'm fantastic. You have to say it. Okay, second rule of the universe, I should get what I want when I want it. Why? The reason the universe owes it to me. Why? Because the universe is so privileged to have me in it. Yeah, so I should get what I want when I want it. Yeah. Third one, everyone should do things my way. Yeah, right? Everybody should do things my way. Why? Because my way is the best way. Even if what I want done today is the opposite of what the way I wanted it done yesterday, it's still the best way. Yesterday, that plan was the best one. Today, the opposite plan is also the best one because I think it and I want it. And everybody should do things my way because that way the whole universe will be perfect and it will be happy. Yeah, it's because all these idiots don't do things my way that we have so many problems. Okay, fourth one, everybody should respect me at all times. No disrespect allowed. And you're supposed to know how to respect me. I'm not supposed to have to tell you. You should intuit, yeah, how to respect me, just as you should intuit what I want at any particular moment. Yeah. Okay. Oh, now this one, short to the point. I am always right. Yeah. So don't get anything in your own mind that thinks that you're right, because that's wrong. Because I am always right. Yeah. And why? Because I have intuition. Like someone else we know. So, oh, and I'm smart and I'm a genius. Yes, 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 yes. Unappreciated genius. Yes. Okay. And next one, I must win all arguments because I'm right and I'm the best. Yeah, so that follows. Of course, because I have the supreme knowledge and wisdom and intuition that knows exactly how things should be done. Then this one too. I must always be comfortable. So this chair back is not quite straight enough for me. The cushion is not quite soft enough. It was hot in this room during the meditation. Better now. Okay, I don't like the electric lights. Yeah, and then we have lunch. And of course, I should get what I like at lunch and be comfortable with what I eat at lunch. And for sure, without a doubt, we're having beans and cabbage. and salsa with lots of chili. Okay, so all the sounds should be sounds I like. Whenever I hear music or whatever, it should be, you know, I don't listen to music, but it comes anyway. It should be the kind of music I like. Okay? The smells should be what I like. Everything should be so that I am comfortable. Next one, I must never experience any hardship whatsoever. Okay? My life should be a breeze. No hardship. No discomfort. Perfect in every way. Next, it's my way or the highway. And you should know this and obey. Okay, because if you don't do things my way, I'm going to take my marbles and go home. So it's my way or the highway. So get that in your noggin, and then we will get along great. Okay, so those are some initial ones. We have some following ones in the book. Let's make up a few from our special time, okay? So if I can start out the list, there should never be a coronavirus. That is against all rules of the universe. Okay? It should not exist. So I don't know what happened to the universe that it created this when I don't want it. Okay? What's another rule of the universe? Yes. The government should always function, and it should always function well, or I should say it should always function well, and at least it should function. Yes. Okay. What else?
Medical workers should have all the equipment
and more that they need. And hospitals should not be overcrowded. Yeah. We should have prepared for this a long time ago. Yeah, there used to be some kind of task force for pandemics. And then somebody, I won't mention who, dissolved it. Okay. So all the people on the front line should have whatever they need. Also, I should say other people on the front lines are people who work in grocery stores. Yeah, people who are driving trucks and getting things to the grocery stores. So many people who have low-paid jobs, who are the people that interface with the public, yeah, who are often people who are poor or immigrants. And no wonder they have one of the highest rates of illness, because they're the ones who are always interfacing with the public, even though everybody's supposed to be staying home. And their employers often forbid them to wear masks and do not provide them with the equipment. Somebody was telling me yesterday, they have a friend or a relative who works in a grocery store, and the grocery store owners would not allow them to wear masks when they're restocking the shelves or checking people out, okay? So that absolutely should not happen. Okay. What else?
List online, growing list.
Oh, okay.
Rashika online says, no one I care about should become sick and die.
Yep.
Someone else says, everybody should follow the rules and measures put in place. And Julia from Julia Agapova says people should stop breaking lockdown rules, every single one of them. Everyone should have equal access to health care.
Now, why should everybody have equal access to care? Health care, when the 1% are obviously better than everybody else.
There should already be a vaccine. Tukjay says, their employees should be given several weeks' notice before being laid off.
They should be furloughed and not laid off. Furloughed and paid while they're on furlough.
Deliveries should be instantaneous. No waiting, no matter how many other people ordered ahead of me. Okay. There should be a rent and debt freeze and basic income during this pandemic.
And there should be enough toilet paper to go around and cover the whole world. Yes.
And it should be over soon, and after it's over, it should be as normal as it used to be.
Oh, yes, it should be over very soon. And then the next day after we declare it over, everything is going to be like it was before, except better, because all this inequality is going to stop. Yeah, and that will happen at midnight of the day that it's over, so that the next morning everything is totally different. Okay, what else? Yeah, it shouldn't be happening in developed countries. But it's okay if it happens in undeveloped countries. Yeah, all the time. Yeah, they can keep their Ebola, you know. Why did we get the coronavirus, you know? I mean, why didn't it start in Antarctica? There's lots of beings there that can handle it. Yep.
Someone's raised a point saying that I agree with all of the suggestions, but none of them are coming from the self-centered place. They are all quite altruistic and very valid.
They are altruistic and very valid. And what makes them, they are altruistic and valid. What makes the slight bit of self-centeredness is they should have already happened 2 millennia or 3 millennia or 5 millennia ago. Yeah? Right? We shouldn't have to be talking about equality and taking care of everybody in the society now. Should have happened already. Yeah?
However altruistic the thought may be, the anger that arises in wishing that somebody else was responsible for fixing it and I'm suffering for it, that's the point.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I'm suffering. Somebody else should fix it. And we know who. We know who should fix it. And
it's not us.
And that person says, also, it's not me. I have no responsibility for this. Okay, so more of my rules of the universe are, everyone should know when I need help and respectfully offer to help me without me needing to ask. Okay, so I shouldn't have to ask, but you should know when I need help and approach me. And when I don't want help, you should not ask to help me. I don't want your help, so stay away. And stop telling me what to do when I didn't ask for your advice. What'd you say?
There's a little juice around it.
Oh, yeah, that one's good. Next one. I should never get old or sick. Okay. So I should become younger all the time. Except I don't want to go back to kindergarten.
Or teenage.
Oh, God forbid. Oh, except I don't believe in him. But he can forbid it anyway. Okay, all the resources at home or work should go towards my project first, because mine is the most important at all. Don't even think of arguing with me about this. So whatever my project is, I don't care how many people we're working with, you know, my project is the most important. The resources should go to my project. Next, when people ask me for advice and I give it, they should follow it. They should not say, yes, but. And if they don't follow it, they're idiots. Okay. Yeah, so why are you asking me for advice if you don't want to follow it? Yeah. At least give me a break, okay? Yeah. Anyway, my advice is always right, so I'm going to give it to you anyway. Okay, next one. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, it's because you're stupid. Okay, so yesterday, Venerable Sangha Kadro was telling us about the three natures of the Yogacharya school. And we all went, but we're not idiots. It's because they didn't explain it properly. You know, yeah, Vasubandhu, the Buddha, they should know that they're dealing with people like us and explain it according to our aptitude. So they should begin it with, duh. Okay, next one. I'm innocent, even when I made a mistake. Okay. Somebody else did it anyway. And if there's a fight, the other person started it. Yeah. I learned that because when I was a kid, whenever we argued, it was my brother's fault. He started it. But I was the one who got in trouble, which shows you how unfair the universe was. The next one follows completely well on that one. My mistakes are always other people's fault. Yeah, I play the blame game because it's not a blame game. I'm just holding other people accountable because they're responsible for things, not me. Okay. But if it's successful, I did it, and I want the credit. All my mistakes should be forgiven immediately without me having to apologize. Okay. I should always get the credit for team projects, even when I talked everyone else into doing most of the work. Okay. I'm always right, and even if I'm wrong, it's because you are too stupid to see how right I am. My opinions and choices are always correct, even when I change them from one day to the next. People must always approve of what I do and never criticize me. Yeah, that's another one of the pairs of the eight worldly concerns. Okay. I want approval. I want praise. I don't want blame and criticism and disapproval. Those are outlawed. Okay. You must always praise me, even when I'm wrong or did something hurtful. So that one actually should be towards the top of the list. That one's really important. You must always think my idea is wonderful and listen patiently while I explain to you what is wrong with your idea. Then you must praise me for being so intelligent. Because I am a genius, you know. Okay. You must talk about something interesting. Interesting means something I want to hear about. And now the grand finale is, enough about me. How about you? What do you think of me? Okay. Do you have these same rules of the universe? Yeah. But probably a few more. When we look at the way our mind sometimes thinks, we have to laugh. Here we are, people who sincerely want to develop impartial love and compassion, yet our minds are stuck in the most absurd, self-centered thoughts possible. True or not true? We need to have some compassion for ourselves and extend kindness and love to ourselves, despite our absurd, self-centered ways of thinking. And we need to be able to laugh at these stupid ways of thinking. Yeah. Instead of taking ourselves so seriously and then going, oh, mea culpa. I expect the world to be the way I want it to be. How selfish I am. Feel sorry for me. Come on. Come on. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, louder. Oh, okay, that's enough. Shut up. Okay. Being patient and compassionate with ourselves makes it easier to have compassion for others despite their foibles, unrealized potential, and bad choices. And we have to deal with that all the time. You know, we don't have unrealized potential and make bad choices, but all these other people, because they don't listen to our advice, do. So we just have to be patient and have compassion for these dimwits. Okay, so that is not patience and compassion. Okay, that is arrogance and condescension. We see that they are hampered by their self-centeredness, just as ours impedes us. But unlike us, they may not have the advantage of knowing that self-preoccupation is the source of their difficulties. And this is really true. You know, in our world, we are taught that our self-centeredness is what is going to protect us and give us happiness. Yeah. And even though we learn as kids, don't be so selfish, what that actually means is be selfish, but look like you're not being selfish. Yeah. It's okay to be selfish, but look like you're nice. And as long as you can make other people think you're nice, even when you're being selfish, that's okay. Because if you aren't selfish, and if you don't take care of yourself, and if you don't stand up for yourself, the whole world's gonna walk on top of you and make you a doormat. What's that song? I'm gonna walk all over you. These boots are made for walking, and I'm gonna walk all over you. Okay, yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. So we have so much imprint like that in our minds, and we have to totally, you know, redo our way of thinking and really sit down and think, does my self-centeredness actually help me, or does it create more problems for me? Yeah. Because I want to have my way all the time, but then what results from that? Other people don't like me. But that's my first rule of the universe, is that everybody must like me. So who's shooting me in the foot? I'm shooting myself in the foot, making myself very disagreeable and hard to be with. This is very good advice. I was reading that divorce lawyers are having a lot of calls during the shutdown because couples are shut up in the, you know, shut up in their apartments with each other. And now they're deciding they can't stand to be with each other so much. Yeah. But, you know, if you take, they say, watch where you put the I in marital so it doesn't become martial, as in martial law, okay? So if, you know, if we practice being kind to others and sensitive to others, yeah, things are going to go so much better. And we'll wind up having fewer problems. Yeah. So don't think that just being selfish and screaming at other people is going to give, you know, make them do what we want them to do. We can intimidate people so that they cave in and do what we want. But that doesn't mean they like us. Yeah. So liking is different than fearing somebody. Yeah, and if we're autocratic and demand, you know, and yell and scream until we get what we want, people may cave in, but boy, they're going to really resent us. They're not going to like us for doing that to them. No? Okay, we must wish ourselves and others well, as each of us goes about freeing ourselves from the causes of suffering and creating the causes of happiness. Okay, so here's the reflection that follows. Try to identify some of your own rules of the universe. This is a good thing for the discussion this afternoon. Okay, so ideas rooted in self-centeredness that interfere with your compassion for others or for your kindness towards yourself too. And have fun doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it is fun. It is fun. You know, trying to hide our self-centeredness is not fun. It's actually very stressful. Yeah, because we're putting on a face. Yeah, and it's hard keeping that face stuck on. It keeps falling off. Yeah? Whereas if we just, you know, it's like, okay, here's what's going on in my mind. And I know it's not good. And you know it's not good. And let's laugh at it together. Okay? Have fun with it. The idea is to increase our awareness of the ways that we set ourselves up to be judgmental, irritable, and self-centered, while introducing some humor to the process. Do your rules of the universe make you judgmental, irritable, and self-centered? Yeah, you bet. These are my rules of the universe. Yeah, and you should follow them. Everybody should follow them without me even having to tell you. And then when you don't, I'm ticked off. I am worse than irritable. As you consider the examples above and those from your own life, allow yourself to be amused by some of the ridiculous ideas our self-centeredness produces. Compassion works much better when it is expressed with warmth, and humor is a wonderful way of warming things up. Okay. So, questions. Lots of times. for questions, or I could do the next chapter, which is questions, comments. Yeah.
Someone online is asking whether can we use the self-centered thought for something good, or is all self-centeredness bad?
Okay, give me an example of using it for something good. I can think of something that, yeah.
I have to wait for their response.
But let's see. Okay, well, they're responding. Okay. The Lamrim does take our self-centeredness and use it for something good. For example, when we think of the sufferings in the unfortunate rebirths, and our self-centeredness comes up and says, I don't want to suffer like that, then that can propel us to not to stop ourselves from creating the causes for that. And it can propel us to instead create virtue. Okay. That's if we believe in karma. Otherwise, we think of the sufferings and unfortunate realms, and that just breaks our rules of the universe, because, of course, we should never experience that. But if we have some idea that those sufferings come from causes, and since we're thinking about ourselves explicitly here, I don't want to experience that, then it could move us in a good direction to practice virtue and abandon non-virtue. Yeah, so His Holiness talks about wise selfishness. When I was speaking to the Yale students, they brought this up too. And I think His Holiness speaks about that when he is doing a public talk in the West. Okay, that's not in his talks to the Sangha in Asia. He doesn't say that. This is for public talks in the West, where the audience, it was probably mostly not people who are Buddhists, but they're curious, you know, to hear what he has to say, because they heard he's a wise and kind person. And I think he does that because it's one way to get people to understand how interconnected we are. Yeah, that what we do matters. It influences others. So if we want to be happy ourselves, you know, then we should be wisely selfish and take care of others. Because when we take care of others, then we live in a better society where we ourselves are better taken care of and more comfortable and face less danger. Yeah. So I think he says that in that particular circumstance to really emphasize how interconnected we are. And I think, especially with the situation now, with the virus, it's really exposing to us in a very graphic way the ways that we are interconnected and how we often overlook that. Yeah, because my hope is now people, when they're going into grocery stores or they're going into the few stores that are open or they're ordering takeout or having packages delivered to their house, hopefully they're thinking about all these people who are still working and who are exposed to the public, many people in the public, whose employers often don't give them the proper equipment, let alone masks, and who are risking their lives to take care of the rest of us, because we have the opportunity to just go online and order 15 rolls of toilet paper. And it's somebody else's job to load that, to put it on the truck, to deliver it to us. Maybe now we're thinking about the lives of those people. Yeah, because as those people get sick, and as the death rate is higher amongst those people, we realize that they're human beings with feelings. They aren't just there to serve us. Yeah. And we start caring about them. I mean, one of the, and then you take this to the healthcare workers, one of them, one nurse was holding a sign that said, "When we're dead, who's going to take care of you?" She said it very well. You know, if we don't take care of the healthcare workers, who's going to take us care of us if we get sick? Yeah, we are so interconnected. And those people are working, I mean, shifts that I can't even imagine in circumstances that I can't even imagine. Yeah. So maybe now we're getting some sense, as just people in the country, how important universal health care is. Yeah. Because have you noticed now everybody thinks it's a good idea? Yeah? And everybody's aware that if Joe Blow, who lives in another neighborhood where there's a high mortality rate, if Joe Blow gets sick, you can't just dismiss it because he lives in that neighborhood and he's other. Because he's the person who delivers your takeout pizza, or he's the orderly that collects all the contaminated masks and human things, you know, in the hospital. So hopefully now, I mean, this is really my prayer for this country, that we're really seeing how intertwined and dependent we are, you know, and that it just doesn't work to have the 1% and then everybody else. Yeah. Because we're too interconnected. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine what would happen if all the doctors and nurses said, you know, we're going on strike. This is unacceptable. If you don't give us the PPE that we need, we're not showing up for work. Yeah, what would happen if they did that in the private hospitals, let alone the public ones, you know? So we have to take care of each other.
My sister wrote an email to me the other day and said that she lives in a suburb of Denver in Colorado. And, you know, it's just a big housing development. So there's no businesses or anything there. But every day at 5 p.m., everybody comes out on their porch and they clap and yell for the healthcare workers and the people that are still working, you know, in harm's way. And she said it's so interesting because now all of the neighbors are really looking at one another. And now the neighbors are seeing the ones that are quite old and maybe need more help. And so now they're communicating and there's a face to all of these houses now in a different way than there ever used to be.
Yeah.
So I think it's happening in that way.
I think so too, in regard to the environment, because many people stay home to protect themselves or others. And so the environment has a break from all the pollution. And to see that actually we are benefiting from that, yeah, in the long term. And I hope so much too that being less self-centered and only thinking about ourselves, wanting to get what we want and go where we want, that this has a damage to the environment, and not wanting what we want or reducing our consumption will have a good effect on the environment and the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you hear stories about New York where you can breathe the air, and Delhi, yeah, where you can see the sky now. So a lot of pollution is clearing up because we're not putting it back in day by day by day.
That keeps recurring since you've been talking is noticing how much in my own mind, and I have such a hard time catching this, but the should, just that word itself, mm-hmm. people should, I should, you should. As soon as I have should in my mind, I've already I mean, that's a rule of the universe. That's mm-hmm. the indication. And I've already judged the situation, myself, other people, as wrong. Mm-hmm. Totally, totally wrong. So it's like, in some ways, it's sometimes it's subtle because it seems like, yeah, everybody should have health insurance. But they don't. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I have to work with taking a little bit of internal distance between what I think would actually be beneficial for people and then having the judgment about how it's not there. Right? So it's...
Yeah. So should is a tricky word that we shouldn't use so often. Okay? Because some should implies judgment. Other should, there is no judgment behind it. Yeah? But I should point out, that's a should without judgment. Yeah? I should point out that we don't like when people should us. Okay? We're happy to should on them. But we don't like when they should on us and tell us what we should do. Okay. Again, because we already know because we're the best ones. Okay. But I've noticed that in writing books, I try not to use the word should. Yeah. When I'm writing for Western audiences, especially American audiences. Europeans, you can say should sometimes. Canadians, yeah. Americans, they don't like should. I mean, today is Easter Sunday. There are states are on lockdown. There's not supposed to be gatherings. And some churches of all places are, you know, there's one church, where is it? Louisiana, Mississippi. He's expecting 2,000 people today, you know, because it's our constitutional right for assembly and government shouldn't interfere in the exercise of religion. What?
Freedom of religion.
Yeah, freedom of religion. So, you know, that's a good example of Americans do not like to be should on. As for some people, as soon as the government says something, yeah, it's, I don't like it. Unless it's, I'm going to give you $1,200. Giving me $1,200 is okay, but you shouldn't give it to other people because they don't deserve it. Okay? So, should is definitely a tricky one. But sometimes when you're trying to give people just simple instructions on how to do something, then we use the words should. And that, you know, you put the butter in, then you should put the sugar in, then you, you know, mix the flour, then, you know, you should add the cinnamon and whatever. And so that should doesn't have anger or judgment in it, but lots of our shoulds do.
Then Dimitrov is asking, how about, or could we use hope instead of should? Like, I hope that all people have a universal health care.
Yeah. So I hope. Yeah. I mean, I hope. But hope isn't good enough.
You should do it.
No, we need to take steps to make that happen. Yeah. Hope is good. Hope is good. I hope we have universal health care, but somebody else should do it. Yeah. So, you know, how can, because His Holiness also always talks about prayers are wonderful, but we need action. Yeah. So hope is great, but we need action. Yeah. And the most difficult action is changing our mind. Yeah? I don't think changing policies is so difficult. It's changing the mind. That's where we get stuck. Once we change our attitude and our mind, yeah, changing policies is not so hard. Okay. So we can. The next chapter is short. We can go on to that. It's chapter 29, The Benefits of Cherishing Others. So it's a short chapter, but that doesn't mean that there's only a few benefits to cherishing others. There's lots and lots and lots of them. Okay, so cherishing others is a source of joy and peace. Yeah? It frees our mind from the problems and pain of self-centeredness and from the regret that self-centered behavior often causes. Yeah, because when we act out of self-centeredness, then often we have regrets, remorse, we feel guilty afterwards. So when we cherish others, then we don't do those actions or have those thoughts, so we don't have the regret and remorse and guilt that comes from them. Cherishing others brings happiness to those around us, who in turn share their joy with other people. Whether we are paying it forward or paying it back, kindness begets kindness and eases pain. We no longer suffer from feeling excluded because we see the big picture, and as a result, seeing others' kindness, we feel close to them. Okay. Everyone feels at ease and safe around those who cherish others. All the great religious and humanitarian leaders have this magnificent attitude, and it brings peace without regret in those who have it. So I need to just digress here for a minute. Okay. Last night, I don't know how I found out about this, but there was something called Saturday Night Seder. And not Saturday Night Live, Saturday Night Seder. And they had, a lot of the people were performers. I don't know who half of them are, but you know, I don't even know a quarter or an eighth of them. But they were performers, or there were some, you know, other people, you know, famous people. And they invited all their friends who aren't Jews to do a Seder and over the internet. Okay. And so it was a Seder that was light on the religion, but heavy on the caring and affection for others. So there was a lot of humor in it. Yeah. And yeah, really, really cute. But what really came through in this virtual Seder was this feeling of kindness and affection towards everybody. Yeah, because, like I said, they invited their non-Jewish friends who did some of the songs and the different things. And it was really, really beautiful. And they were all doing it in their own homes. Somehow, when they were doing, because, you know, Passover has a lot of songs. So, you know, but they did it so that they were all, you know, singing and doing these things, each in their own space, but it was coordinated. And it was really beautiful. I'm sure it's still on YouTube, you know, you could find it. But there was so much feeling of, you know, okay, here we are in the coronavirus. This is a holiday that where you're supposed to be with the whole family. Yeah, the whole mishpacha is supposed to come over and you're supposed to all love each other and celebrate and not criticize and get on each other's cases so much. But that, of course, is what happens when you're together. But anyway, okay, so it's supposed to be a holiday like that. And here everybody is in their own apartment somewhere around the country or the world. And they put together this show, you know, with a Seder. And it was just the warmth and caring that came from that. Yeah, had a very palpable effect. Yeah. So I invite you to look at it. And maybe this afternoon we should take a look at it. Because they also reminded us so much of the purpose of Passover and the Passover story. And that it's not just something for the Jews. The Jews tell it every year and celebrate it every year. But it's a story of freedom for all people. And it's not just political freedom that it's a story of. It's, you can, you know, really see it as freedom from ignorance, anger, and attachment. Yeah. And the search for freedom that we all have in our lives from whatever oppresses us, you know? Could be political stuff, but mostly, you know, of course, from a Buddhist perspective, our internal oppressor of ignorance. So, yeah. So I brought it up right now because it really affected me and because it was a clear demonstration of all these people who didn't know the people who were watching it, yet they all wanted us to have a good experience. And I think they achieved that. Yeah. So it's interesting how, you know, of course, we don't need to know people personally even to be able to benefit them and to wish them well and to receive their kindness and give them kindness. While we contemplate the benefits of cherishing others, we have to keep in mind the faults of self-preoccupation. This involves a process of gradual change, training. I wish it would happen quicker. Yeah, that's another of my rules of the universe. All the realizations of the path should come quick, cheap, and easy, you know, and I shouldn't have to exert much effort. Okay, our self-preoccupation has been with us for a long time, so we cannot expect it to politely bow out immediately. Rather, this process of transforming our mind needs consistent effort over a long period of time. There are no shortcuts, no pill to take or app to download. And we can't pay someone else to do it for us. So being in the 1% does not get you to enlightenment faster. And it doesn't get you to a good rebirth faster. Because these are all things we need to create the causes for ourselves. It will inspire us to train our minds to view difficult situations and people from a new compassionate perspective. These changes, in turn, will increase our enthusiasm for cherishing others. It's a win-win situation. Okay, so here's the reflection on the benefit and joy of cherishing others. So bring to mind the many benefits of cherishing others. So just sit, you know, in your meditation and go over one after another, and really think about it, you know. What happens when you're kind to people? What happens when you care about people? Not only the immediate people around you, but the people in the broader society, the people that we share the planet with, all the creatures and living beings we share the planet with. What happens when we cherish them, you know, and realize how interdependent we are? Think of the times you felt most fulfilled and at peace. You'll likely find that these were the times you felt the most connected with others, when your heart was open and caring. Don't you think? At these times, we can just be ourselves, peacefully existing together with others. Recall all of the conditions that make up your life are due to the efforts and kindness of other beings. Let the thought of cherishing others and wishing to repay their kindness rise up in your heart. Contemplate how cherishing others will benefit both them and you. Experiencing your care, others will feel safe and will be able to be honest and genuine. Perceiving that you want them to be happy, they will release their drive to compete and will be more creative and cooperative. That's an interesting one, because we usually think that when people are competitive, that's when they're really creative. But I think sometimes when people are focused on competition, it's really limiting their creativity, because they're trying to think of what will get me ahead in somebody else's paradigm, instead of what can I create out of my own ingenuity. Knowing that you value them, they will consider your opinions and advice and will be able to openly share their own perspectives with you so that you may better learn from one another. Remember the feeling of being appreciated and valued, and think that you can give this gift to others. So I'm reading this quickly, but actually each one of these is a sentence to meditate on. Okay. Maybe someone can do this and record it and pause between each part, and, you know, we can put it up as a guided meditation. As you do, consider that cherishing others also weakens the self-centeredness that is at the root of so many of your own problems. You will feel more connected and less sensitive and self-conscious, freeing yourself to cultivate your abilities and good qualities for the benefit of all. So many benefits from cherishing others.